Welcome to Unity Fort Worth Online. We are a spiritual center of love and wisdom, affirming God's presence in our lives and reaching the larger community in ever-increasing circles of good.
It's a big subject, though. What is God? Who is God? So we've got five more weeks before I say my farewells and move on to other things, and we'll have all new opportunity in the community here. So I thought let's do the five unity principles on the last 5 weeks. So there happen to be five, so that nicely fits in. And the first one is, who is God? What's God? And that's a large subject, isn't it? A large, expensive thing that we could talk about forever and a day, but we'll try and limit it to 20 minutes, okay? Who is God? Well, right there is the wrong question, isn't it? As Beth said earlier, because when you ask who is God, immediately this image of a being comes into our minds, and usually a super being. And if you grew up like I did, the being is on a throne, on a cloud, you know, and has a big long beard, and it's really into judgment. And I don't like that image of God because, as again, Beth said, God cannot be limited to being a being. Agreed? In fact, it's annoying, you know, because it limits God. And many of us became atheists because of that. I know I was an atheist for many years, during my teenage years, early 20s, because I got rid of that idea. I couldn't accept that limited idea of what God is. So, as we say in Unity, God is not so much a being as God is being itself, right? The very nature of being. And that's kind of esoteric and leads us to all kinds of... Remember a person asked a guru one time, who is God? And he said, it is the isness of the whatness of the beingness. I thought it was funny. No. It was too difficult. The isness of the whatness of the beingness. You know, you can get abstruse when you start talking about God. That's what I'm saying. And it can become sort of up there somewhere, an intellectual idea rather than something practical. And we want to make God practical. We want to make the divine practical. Here's the thing. We are, as Tayyad Shadan said, we are spiritual beings having a human experience, right? So it's not like we're human beings trying to understand what God is, because God, by its very nature, is all present, and we are just discovering, we are walking through life, learning how to integrate that in our humanness, right? So we already have it within us. So this is the good news. It's beyond our intellectual capacities, perhaps, but it's not beyond our intuition and our knowingness. I've mentioned this before, but I love this quote because Carl Jung, at the end of his life, was interviewed, very last interview, and one of the questions that the interviewer asked him was, do you believe in God? And he said, no. And you could feel the hush, you know. And he said, I don't believe in God, I know God. And that's the shift we're talking about, right? From intellectual understanding of something, something to believe in, which is, by its very definition, separate from us. I believe in that. No, I am that. I know it. So therefore, I'm not believing it anymore. I don't have to believe it. I know it. It's become internalized. When something becomes internalized in us, what happens, folks? You've done it in your own life. Well, it doesn't matter what you internalize, but when it's internalized, when you really know it, when you've grasped it, you become a master, right? You become that which can then share that energy, share that power. When you really know love, when you've had a moment of connection, then you speak with authority, right? Because it's no longer you, a little tiny person in the universe. No, you are a exemplar of that quality in the universe, right? And that's what God wants from all of us, I think, is to be exemplars of the qualities that God is in us, right? We are taking God on a journey. We are the very face of God, as the chant said. So let's get into some definitions of God. I'm going to throw out a few, then I'll see if we've missed some, okay? God is full of uns and omnis. Have you noticed that? God is a full of uns because he's unlimited, he's unconditional, he's uncreated, because God didn't create anything himself, right? God is. So God came out of nothing, basically. And God is the three omnis. So we know the three omnis, don't we? Omnipresent, You were there at 9:30. It's not fair. Let somebody else have a go. Omniscient, omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent, right? Those are the three great omnis to describe God. God is everywhere present throughout the universe. God is all-powerful because there is no power opposing God. We don't accept there's an opposing power. And God is all-knowing. So that's the very nature of the whole universe. It's filled with these qualities. Why is that important? It's not like God is out there being all those things. God is here being all those things. And I love that poem, don't you? Because that's the whole idea. When that thrush was singing, and she was aware of that thrush, everything began to sing. Everything became divine. Everything became a spark of the essence of God bringing joy into the world, right? And we've had moments like that, those epiphanies where we wake up from all our distractions and remember that I am this omnipresence. I am this omnipotence. I am this omniscience because I can tune into it. I am an amazing being because God deigns to create and sustain me on any given day. So, God is unlimited, omnipresent, omnipotent. What else we got? In Unity, we talk a lot about God as principles, right? God as mind. God as all the ideas you could ever need. I like that, but it kind of gets a little cerebral, you know? A lot of us want God with skin on. We want God to be more immediate, right? More approachable. So God as love does that, right? This idea of this loving, embracing presence. Question, are you a drop in the ocean? Or are you the ocean? You know, they always say, God is an ocean, you're a drop. Are you a drop or are you the ocean? Both? Say again? You're an ocean in the drop, right? Because we're in a holistic, holographic universe. So that everything that the ocean is represented by that drop, right? So you can say, well, maybe I'm not as big as the ocean, like as magnificent as this conception of God, and yet I am because I partake of that. There is no separation. Some people believe, get this, that we are in a matrix where there is no time or space, really. It's all here already, right? Everything that was and everything that is to be, everything that's now is here. And so we are going on this journey through this oceanic matrix and learning to express God more fully. But in fact, everything's already here. You like that idea? I do, because it's the idea there's a mystery here that is unfolding, but it's already present. As I grow older, I think that God has actually created this most amazing computer program called the universe. But God is the computer program at the same time. And I'm part of that. We're all part of that. And it's a great cosmic experiment of unfolding who we are, right? Pretty amazing. C.S. Lewis fell in love with Joy Davidson late in life and had a wonderful relationship and wrote a book about it called Surprised by Joy. And unfortunately, Joy died, though, fairly soon after that. And he was bereft. And he wrote another book called A Severe Mercy. And in that book, he called God the cosmic sadist. And I know what he means. You know, when you go through suffering, you say, why, God, do you create a universe with pain and suffering, right? Why does it have to be like that? You seem to be sadistic. Anybody can resonate with that one? Yeah. So the question then becomes, well, why, you know? And I think it's because before we came into this life, each of us was handed a sheet of paper. And it's at the bottom it said, anything can happen, please sign. So the fact you're here means that you signed it, okay? So don't complain. These are God's ways. We don't understand them completely. But here's what I think on that is that, you know, pain, and we are a pain body as well as a beautiful spiritual self. But I believe the idea is that pain is necessary, right? Because we teach our children, don't put your hands on the stove because you're going to have pain. But the fact that they have pain is a warning, isn't it? And that's why it exists. We are very fragile. We're very delicate beings. But that's part of the gift. If we didn't feel anything, why be bothered to be here, right? The fact is you can feel, the fact that we are delicate and fragile and subject to all these overwhelming issues in our lives is part and parcel of the unfoldment. The good news is the spirit within us is totally unconditioned. It is of God. So it doesn't feel pain, right? So there is a part that we can apply to that. Not every morning do you wake up like Beth did, full of joy. No, even Beth doesn't. You know, sometimes it just doesn't go, we don't go there. But the important thing is we're in a both-and world, so we accept all parts of our being, right? I hate it when we sprinkle spiritual platitudes on everything, you know? Make it right, you know, it's all for good, you know, and all that. Well, maybe it isn't. It sucks, you know, it doesn't feel good. But the fact that I can be authentic about that helps me move through it. When I was a kid, you weren't allowed to have doubt. You had to believe. And God didn't like you if you doubted, you know. Well, that was a bummer because I think if you've got a brain, you're going to doubt sometimes. And I discovered when I started studying Zen Buddhism that they have the triple pillars of Zen. First one is great faith, tenacity, faith, but also great doubt. And then the third one is great persistence. I love that because you can harness the three. You really got some power going, right? So yeah, I have faith that this universe is unfolding in a good way. But I also have doubt about it sometimes. You know, why are the mess of this world and all the craziness? But to marry those two together with persistence brings me to a centered place, right? Where God is, where this thing called God is. So at this moment, I'll add some more later, but let's throw out some other qualities, names of God that we haven't mentioned yet that you like. Energy. Thank you for bringing that up. When I was 24 years old, I just got back from India and I'd met my late wife, and she was more advanced on the spiritual path than I was. And she, and I was like, I was imbibing spirituality, you know, I was imbibing all the, it was like a hose. Couldn't get enough of it, you know. And just sucking it in. And the one of the words she used, she said, God is energy. And it blew me away because it was the old idea was God was a judging, ethical being on the cloud. The idea that God was all the energy of the universe was incredibly exciting. In Hinduism, they call it Shakti power, Shakti energy, the energy of God in action, basically. And it also allows God to be scientific, right? So there's not this great divide between the scientific world and then the world of faith. No, they are one. Because the same energy that's moving in physics and chemistry and math is the same energy that's moving through the spiritual dimensions. It's one. That's powerful for me. Yeah, I love that. I still get excited about that. And we need that, you know. You have to have a little Shakti going in your life. You have to have some energy. Like she woke up with energy. It changes everything, right? Makes life better. On that note, Wales won in rugby yesterday, by the way. Yes! 34-7. They played Scotland, who were the favorites, because they beat all those Southern Hemisphere teams last season. And nobody thought Wales could do it. But they did it in my hometown of Cardiff. What a great score, 34-7, and just massacred them. Yeah! Woo! And God was there. God was on their side. Right? Energy was, yeah. But I mention that because, you know, we bless Scotland at this time, poor things. But, you know, the idea that my point is whatever inspires energy and Shakti and power within you is okay, right? You've got to get it going. And it doesn't really matter what inspires it, but you take it in its spiritual direction, right? So you have to find those things that give you a buzz, get you going, so you can impel your spiritual path. Hindus also say, God is formless, but takes many forms. And I love that idea. So God can show up in any capacity. You know, in the old myths and fairy tales, the God or the divine was always showing up like as an ugly hag or as a crotchety old man or whatever, or as a frog. And then they had to kiss the frog or embrace with kindness the old man or the hag. And then that hag would turn into the princess, and the crotchety old man would turn into the prince. What's the message? God is in everything, is hidden and in disguise. And if we're ugly to other people, maybe we miss the opportunity to really entertain angels unawares, right? That if we can extend and see God as in all the various forms of our lives, even those people we detest, yeah? Even those people on Facebook. And I'm not looking at you directly, Irene. But I did look at you, didn't I? Yeah. John Lennon. Let's talk about John Lennon. He said about God, he said, God is a concept by which we measure our pain. Kind of links in with that cosmic sadist idea. You know, John lost his mom when he was 14. His dad was absent. He had a lot of angst and difficulty in his life. He was an angry person in many ways, but he used that energy to write these beautiful songs. What do you think? I don't think it's the most, the be-all and end-all definition of what God is, but I think it's a good working definition. Because to the degree that we suffer and have pain is the way we look at God. You know, what is God? What's going on here? How can I reconcile this? So God is a concept by which we measure our pain. But here's another one. I really like this one. Sri Nagzadatta Maharaj, one of my favorite modern-day gurus, said this, beyond being and non-being lies the immensity of the real. Get your head around that one. Beyond being and non-being lies the immensity of the real. See, we're so scared because we feel like I'm here right now. I'm being something. I'm being Paul. You're being whoever you are. But one day, we're not going to be here anymore. What happens when we die? You know, what happened to my nice little self? Well, we're asking the wrong question because we are neither being nor non-being in reality. We are simply the real. Right? God is the real. God is not dependent on it being or not being. It just is. Dare I say it's the isness of the whatness of the beingness? So therefore, we can take a load off and know that we are something greater than the concepts we have around ourselves, right? That we are the real. What else we got? Throw out some more names. God is a verb. I love that. Excellent. God is an activity and a process happening through us, right? We are taking God on a journey. God doesn't want to be passive. God is an active principle in our lives. Yes. Beautiful. God is forgiveness. Is that true? Is there anything that God has to forgive? See, I think we're about forgiveness, but I don't think God has a problem with that. Because God is not looking down and saying, oh my God, you really screwed it up. Okay, I'll forgive you. God looks and sees and laughs, but doesn't have to forgive, you know. Because God knows what we're going to do anyway. Here they go again. Nothing new under the sun. I've seen it all. Oh my God. Oh my godness. You're right. Everything is God in that sense, right? That there's the qualities of unconditional love in animals that we have a hard time exhibiting sometimes. So, absolutely. There's that quality of getting calm when you're with your pets. You know, they bring a love. Divine, right? The unsullied, right? That which is pure. And not subject to condition or change. That's the divine in us. Somebody mentioned it's wholeness, and I love that idea, that God is whole, that there's a completeness to it, just like that universal matrix that exists all around us right now. In unity, we say this, God is the one presence and one power, active as the universe and as my life. We also say God is the source and creator of all. There is not, There is no other enduring power. God is good and everywhere present. Do you believe that? That God is good. Right? That's a basic tenet of unity, that God is ultimately good. No matter how it appears to be on any given day, good will flow from it and through it, as long as I cooperate with that process, right? As long as I'm willing to participate. And this is huge, because it's lovely. We can talk about God forever, can't we? And not get anywhere until God is personalized in us, right? We want God with skin on. I think this is where the love of Jesus comes in. You know, the more traditional Christian focuses on Jesus because Jesus is a person that suffered and went through everything that we have to go through. So there's that connectedness. The danger is we make it all about Jesus instead of what Jesus said, it's all about the Christ in you, right? So he's the exemplar that points to that truth. But I think all of us want to make it real. One reason I'm in unity is because it is practical spirituality. It is something you're going to apply on any given day, right? And listen to Charles Fillmore. I'll end with this, because it links in with what we're going to talk about next week, which is the nature of the Christ and the presence of Spirit within us. Co-founder of Unity said this: God is personal to us when we recognize him within us as indwelling life, intelligence, love, and power. There is a difference between a personal God and God personal to us. Sometimes the word personal is misleading. So it would probably be better to speak of God as individualized in us rather than God personal to us. I'm okay with personal. But God is not. See, there's a difference between a personal God and God personal to us. Do you get the difference there? When God is personal to you, you are the one that makes the connection, right? God is willing to give all these qualities. But until you harness them, it's just there. But so that's the invitation every day, every week, is to harness a quality that is meaningful to you. So that's why I want to end with a pop quiz, okay? Pop quiz. What are you going to take this week away that's meaningful from some of the concepts that have come forward this morning? What way can you harness the qualities of God in your life? Because God is formless but takes many forms. You get to choose the form, right? You get to choose the manner in which God is represented and you are representing her this week. So, let's get a few. Humble. What do you mean by that?
My experience with Spirit is personal, but when I share, it's not just me. I have to be humble, and I have to not make it just about me, and I have to look away.
Right, okay. So get yourself out of the way so that you can open to something larger that you are.
Yes.
Right. So the willingness to... You know, when you're in that mode, it doesn't really matter what people say, you know. They can call you a total idiot, but you just go, fine, great, whatever, maybe I am. But that's not the reality of me, right? But when we're identified so closely with our humanness, if somebody says you're an idiot, we get all offended. And that's what they're looking for. But if you come from Spirit, it's like water off a duck's back, as they say. You're not impacted by it because you remember who you are in truth. And therefore, you become a more faithful representative of the good. That God is in them, right? That's huge, isn't that? And we'll talk a lot about that next week, about seeing God in each other. Yeah, that's huge. Because I can choose to, whatever form shows up, I can see that as an aspect of God. Just like the thrush was God in action for that poet, right? Or I could say, ooh, a pretty bird. Let's go on with life, you know. So I can bring value to it if I want. A couple more. Remember Wales won, remember that? Yeah. I'm getting excited. Yeah. Beautifully put. God is awareness, right? Presence awareness. And we just have to pay attention, right? It's all around us. It's an open secret. God is an open secret, willing to give you everything, right? Like they say, we're in the palace of the king, and we're sleeping on a pallet in the basement. Why would you do that? Come on up. The king-size bed is waiting. Amen. So in the interest of time, because we have another beautiful piece of music coming, let us simply use that technique we call the arrow meditation, going straight to the heart of the matter. And just acknowledge that the most important, powerful gift we can give ourselves is to be still and quiet and silent, to do nothing. Because in that moment of peace and silence, awareness arises. Begin to notice, to look, and to listen. And instead of filling our days with all the events and activities that are ours to do, which is fine, we go deeper and we connect with something vaster and larger, that oceanic wisdom, that presence of all possibility that is. What we call God, the real. So just for a moment now in the silence, open to the nothing, the undetermined, the unlimited. Become aware of that and notice in the coming days how new information will flow intuitively to you in relation to our ability to open to the formless taking form in the silence, just for a moment. So, dear God, may I see your form in every incident and event of this week. May I see your form in every person I meet. May I see your form in even the most unlikely of places. And may I grow in thankfulness and joy and capability as a result. Thank you for providing everything that we can possibly need to live happy, successful and remarkable lives. And so it is.
Thanks for listening. This ministry is funded through the generous contributions of individuals just like you. If you have found spiritual enrichment here, please visit us online at unityfortworth.org and make a donation. We sincerely thank you for your contribution, and we affirm with you, divine love, through me, blesses and multiplies all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive, and I am grateful.